Well, we certainly can count the mileposts as they go by, that's for sure. And one of these days, before very long, we shall be with the Lord. And what a wonderful thought it is to know Christ and to be able to know what's taking place. I'm glad I know what's happening in the world is by design. It's not by accident. You can read in the Scripture things that were written thousands of years ago that tell us what's taking place now. And so by that we know it's been by design, not by the works of man, but by the handiwork of our Lord. I think we have sometimes a problem understanding that we serve a sovereign God. He does as He desires to do. He doesn't make decisions like man makes decisions. He plans, charts the course of mankind, and nothing will detour it. And I'm glad we can have those things in the Scripture. This morning, if you would, take your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. And we want to begin reading in verse number 17. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17, and I pray this morning that as we go through these things that the Lord will help us to to know and to apply to our heart. Been doing some thinking and talking and studying along the line of what real preaching is all about. And sometimes we we get a wrong concept of preaching, and I pray that the Lord will help us this morning to give not only just facts, but that He'll energize those, that He will strengthen us, and that He'll give us the things that we need. So let's read in beginning Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 17. Paul writing to the church of Ephesus, he says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind." I want you to notice that word mind. We're going to be dealing with that subject just a little while this morning. The mind of an individual. So he tells them here, these folks of Ephesus, and they were not Jews, they were Gentiles. And they had been saved. And he tells them now, he says, don't walk as other Gentiles walk. And so he's telling them, don't walk like the world walks. Don't walk like the unbeliever walks. Verse 18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, and that's just to desires of the flesh, lasciviousness. They've given themselves over to that, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust." Now we've studied that word conversation many times. It means the lifestyle of an individual. So we're to put off the former lifestyle. Verse 23 says, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind." There's that word again. "That you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. Rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, and use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, all evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." In these verses today, the Apostle Paul is dealing with the right attitude an individual ought to have toward God and right attitude an individual ought to have toward others. And he uses the phrase there in those two verses. He talks about the vanity of their mind and then the spirit of the mind. And we talk about the mind, we're talking about that inner part of man that controls the emotions that we have. It controls the complex works of mankind, and it really the human mind is probably the most complex living mechanism in the world. This little 3-pound brain that we have, if man was to build it's been calculated, if a man could build a computer that would be capable of what the mind is capable of. And by the way, we do not use our mind to the fullest of capabilities. We do not ever get to that point. But it's been estimated that it would take a building the size of the Empire State Building to hold that type of mechanical being that would be as useful and know as much and could do as much as the human mind. And so we're going to be dealing with the mind or the human nature of the mind. This world today is basically divided into two sections. We have the wisdom of man and the wisdom of God. Either one of those will affect the way you live. Either one of those will affect your eternity. And the Apostle Paul is writing here to the people of Ephesus about their mind and the renewing of it and the life of an individual and not to be as other Gentiles. And so Paul is dealing with those that are of the right kind of mind, and he's also dealing with those that have the wrong mind or the wrong mindset. And that certainly will determine how we live, and it will determine where we spend our eternity. Our mind controls everything that we do. And when a person has no control, then there's something wrong up here in the mind, in the brain. It controls its everything that we do. But have you ever wondered why America has become one of the most immoral countries? Now, I believe this with all my heart. America has become one of the most immoral countries on earth, and yet it has more that claim to be Christians. Why? How can you bring those two together? Why does that happen? Well, I believe it's because we have fallen prey to the wisdom of man. We have fallen prey to what we normally call, we use the word humanism, that man is the result of his own being. And during the last 200 plus years, man's wisdom or humanism has captivated the thinking of our country. It took over the thinking of Europe's universities and colleges back in the 200-300 years ago, and now it has crept over into this country. And the real battleground that we have this morning for the battle of the mind is not out here in the gutters. It's not out here in the bars. The real battle is in the places of higher learning or the places of education that have so given themselves over to the wisdom of the world, and they have blocked out the wisdom of God. And so therefore we have a world and we have a nation that is becoming more and more anti-God, even though there's many, many Christians in this world and in this country. In 1945, the United Nations decided to exclude God because they did not want to offend the communists. Well, today we see and are seeing the very same thing happen in our country nationally, and we call it political correctness. We don't want to offend anybody. We don't want to say anything that would offend their their thoughts or their ways, and especially their traditions. And I believe there are five things that that have captivated our country. And when we get through this, then we'll get in here to the Scripture and see what the Bible says about this thing of the mind. But there's four or five things that I believe have captivated this country and has led us down the pathway, I believe, that we're going to see total annihilation of God, just get rid of God altogether. I don't want to think about God. We're too smart for that. And there's some things that's taken place in the last 100, 150 years or so that has brought this about to what we're seeing right now. And if we're not careful, we're going to be doing what Paul warned these folks of Ephesus, is to not walk in the vanity of the mind. And if we're not careful, we're going to be guilty of walking as other Gentiles do, or as the lost do. I think the first thing that comes on our scene in our country that has began the deterioration of our nation is the word we call atheism, or no God. We don't believe in God, there is no God, and so that leaves us open to every concept, leaves us open to everything that might come to our heart. And by the way, the devil has a lot of things to bring to our attention, and to bring to the attention of an unregenerate person, that he would deny that there is even a God. And Romans chapter 1 says, don't even want the thought of God in their heart. And so we find these things that have taken place. So in our country, we moved from a belief in a moral system, we moved from a belief in God, to now we have many, many that are fighting continually to get God removed from everything, even in our history. And atheism is alive and well. It's just the thought. It is a religion of no God at all. And then after atheism, the next process that took place, and I believe is just a natural process of walking in the flesh, is that man has emerged as a result of a continual process. It's called evolution. If there's no God, then certainly there's no creator. If there is no God, then we don't have a creator that we are responsible to answer unto. And so therefore, we don't have God, and so we have just come about. And Mr. Darwin, years ago, come up with these thoughts, what we call evolution. And they've been propagated, they have been overtaken, they have been swallowed by our education system. And all of these things, now we're seeing the end result of that. And so man has just sort of, is a result of a process that took place billions and billions of years ago. And now we're just seeing the end result of it. And man is the highest of the evolved animals, and puts man all the way down to the humanistic thought that we're just an animal, when God says we're made in the very image of Himself. But if there's no God, then we can't be created. If there's no God, we can't have a higher being. And so we have to find some way to figure out how we got here. And so they bring us through the thoughts of evolution. Now the next process I think that takes place is what I call amorality, or no morals at all. It's a process. If you don't have any God, so therefore you don't have any thou shalt and thou shalt not. If you don't have any God, you don't have any sanctity of life. And so you can kill somebody if they're living, or you can kill somebody in the womb. You can kill somebody whenever you get ready, because that's okay. There's no God that we answer to, even though God said thou shalt not kill. And by the way, that kill means murder. And so there's no morality, and it's a natural process. The moral values derived from the source of human experience. Whatever feels good, do it. Whatever helps me, I can do, whether it's right or wrong. I heard questions years ago, who can tell us what's right and what's wrong? This book tells us what's right and what's wrong. Oh, that book doesn't mean anything, because there's no such thing as God. It's just another fairy tale. It's just another story. Now, there, you see the process, no God. Don't have any higher being, no God, then we have to come about by some way, and we have followed after evolution. Now we have no morals, and we can kill and be killed and destroy wherever, whenever we want to, as long as it's doing good for us, as long as we're taking care of ourselves, we're all right, because we have become, number four, we have become very autonomous and we become very self-centered as an individual. We create and develop our own future. We make ourselves. You do what you want to do. Make yourself you what you ought to be. And it's all from the human experience and human relationship. And then the last thing is an end result that we are seeing very, very openly today is what is called the socialistic one world view. And we see that everywhere. And no such thing as nationalism. No such thing as patriotism. No such thing as believing in any good or anything to fight for or to battle for. I think we've seen some of those things take place even recently in our own country. We make statements, we back them, but we back up from them. We say we're going to do something, and then we let somebody else tell us what we're going to do. And we have found so many times that we've wondered why America is not mentioned in prophecy. Well, America is not having anything to do with prophecy right now. We have no influence at all in the Middle East. And we've given over what little we had over to the Russians. And all those things are taking place in the Middle East. And so we're just finding ourselves that we live in one big happy world. And no such thing as nationalism. Now, I may shake your thoughts on this next statement. But back years ago, and I was a teenager when the four young guys made the trip across the Atlantic Ocean from Liverpool, England, to the United States. And I probably don't have to tell you who I'm talking about. I'm talking about the Beatles. And I was captivated like everybody else. We still hear their songs, and sometimes you remember exactly some things that took place and things going on. As those songs were very popular. Later on, they came up with John Lennon wrote a song, and they sang it. And I believe it's one of the most humanistic, socialistic songs ever written and ever sung. And if I was to have the music, just the music here, you'd know what it was, because we all have heard it. We've all probably even sung some of the words. And it goes like this. Imagine there is no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us, above us only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. The name of the song is Imagine. It goes on and says, imagine there's no countries. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for. No religion too. Imagine all the people living peace or living life in peace. You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us and the world will be as one. Imagine no possessions. You know what that is? That's communism. Socialistic. Imagine no possessions. I wonder if you can. No need for greed or hunger. A brotherhood of man. Imagine all the people sharing all the world. You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us and the world will live as one. That is a very socialistic, humanistic song that became number one in this country. And people are living by the thoughts that man can do with his own mind what he so chooses to do. And whatever is good for him, that's all that matters. And that is just the old-fashioned word, humanism. But the biblical term of that is the mind, the wisdom of man. And there is a difference between the wisdom of man and the wisdom of God. And I want us to think this morning some things about this old man and the new man that has emerged from society because of the preaching of the Word of God. You see, we are a new man. We are a new person this morning if we're saved. The old man has been put back on the background. Now, he's not dead, and he's not out of existence, but he's not in the forefront now because we have a new creature, Corinthians tells us. And so our verses here this morning that we read shows that there's a contrast between the old man, the lost man, and the new man, which is the saved man. The Bible calls it the natural man, has a natural man, a spiritual man, and a carnal man. Now, a saved person has two natures. He has that old nature, he has a new nature. And he can become very spiritual, or he can become very carnal. And within him is that possibility. It's according how we renew our mind. It's according how we let the Lord speak to us through the wisdom of God. And so we have the natural man is lost. That's that old man. That's why Paul says to these folks here in Ephesus, he said, don't walk as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. The word vanity there means emptiness of their mind. They have nothing to think about. They have nothing to give you. They have nothing that will help you. The Gentile that is lost, the individual that is lost around us this morning, really has nothing that will help the child of God because we are in a different realm. We are believers. We are Christians. And so we are to the point where we have the wisdom of God rather than the wisdom of man. By the way, this natural man that's lost, he cannot be spiritual. You cannot train a lost man to be a Christian. You cannot educate him, and that's where we've had a lot of problems in our country. You cannot educate a lost man to be a Christian. You cannot designate, you cannot dictate that a lost man live like a saved man because he doesn't have the nature to do that. He just does not have that ability. And so we can send the lost man to school, or we can send him to Bible school. You can send him to study the Scripture. You can send him to do all kinds of things. You can make him a deacon. You can make him whatever he wants to be. You can make that man or that woman something high in the church, but that does not make them a child of God. That only comes by the new birth of being born again by the Spirit of the Lord. And the reason we're having so many problems in our country this morning is because I believe our churches are ruled and reigned by a lot of lost people. They need to have God move in their heart. And so the natural man can never receive the spiritual things of the Word of God. The vanity of their mind is spoken of here. It's not yielding to the right outcome. And there's nothing to avail. It's just vanity. And the lost mind is that vanity, an enmity against God. The Scripture talks about the darkness of their mind. The absence of light or the illumination of God's power and God's presence upon them. The unsaved man does not have that. And he needs to be born again. The Scripture talks about the ignorance of their minds. The natural man cannot discern spiritual truth. A person that is not saved cannot basically even understand John 3:16. Now, he may give lip service to it, and he may speak some things that sound all right because he's heard it, but he cannot even spiritually understand how that God could so love the world that Jesus would come and die and be a substitute for man on the cross. He cannot understand that. He cannot accept that. He may try to. He may work at it. But the natural man cannot receive the spiritual things of the Word of God. That's why we as Baptist people, that's why we believe in a regenerated membership. That's why we believe people need to be saved before they become members. That's why we believe in salvation by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so these things result in the condition of their heart. Then when salvation comes, they can now begin to understand. They can now begin to realize what they're reading and what they're having before. But when salvation comes, then the struggle begins. How many of you have struggles in your life about individual things? All of us do. We have the old man wanting to do certain things, and the new man says, no, you can't do that. We have the Holy Spirit that moves in and lives in our heart that guides us and directs us and says, no, don't do that. Don't go that direction. Don't follow that thought pattern. Don't do those things, because those are the things of the wisdom of the world or the natural man. And we still have that natural man that lives within us. And so when salvation comes, the struggle comes between the old man and the new man. In verse number 20 and verse number 21 says, but ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard Him and have taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus. Thank God this morning truth is in the Lord. Truth is in Jesus Christ. He is the one that gives us the truth. We that are saved, we have both the Word of God and we have the Spirit of God. When we got saved, the Holy Spirit moved in. I mean, He moved in, He took over, He took reign, He took up His throne, and He is a part of us. He goes everywhere we go. He sees what we see. He goes where we go. He understands every thought and intentions of our heart, and we have the Word of God to guide us and direct us, and the Holy Spirit to say, that's right, follow that, that's right, or that's wrong, don't do that. You see, we have two helpers. Thank God this morning when I got saved, the Lord didn't just say, well, I'm glad He's saved, I can do the best He can. No, when I got saved, when you got saved, when anybody gets saved, the Holy Spirit comes in. He's our teacher. Jesus said in the book of John that when I leave, I'm going to send you another comforter. And the Bible says He is the Spirit of truth. Now you can be rest assured, the Holy Spirit that lives in your life and lives in your soul, He will never lead you to do something wrong. He's the Spirit of truth. And so I've had people say, well, now preacher, the Lord led me to do that. And it's as foreign from the Word of God as daylight is from dark. God didn't lead them to do something that's outside of the Word of God. God didn't lead them to do something that was wrong. Well, God led me to go over here and do this. If it's not in according to the Word of God, God had no part in it. Well, God led me here and God led me there. And I did this because I felt the Lord was leading me. And all those things are that maybe they're doing is so foreign to the things of God's Word. God did not lead that. And so the Scripture tells us that we have that struggle that comes. And Romans chapter 8, verse number 5 says, for they that are after the flesh, it means are those that are lost. It says here, they do mind or take care of the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Romans 8, 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. We that are saved, the Word of God and the Spirit of God now dwell within us, and we are now taught of God how to live, how to do, and how to exist in a world of darkness and a world of sin. Before our salvation, we were under the controlling influence of the old man, the flesh. But after we get saved, we're under the controlling influence of the Holy Spirit, if we will let Him do so, if we will let Him work. I want us to look at the mind just for a few moments this morning. And certainly it's not going to be a very deep study concerning the heart of man or the mind that God has given to us, or the mind of the man. I don't believe you could do that in one message. You could do that in a lot of messages. I just want to look at some simple things that will help us to put off the old man, to help us to put away the influence of the natural man. Now, every person in here this morning, as a child of God, every one of us, as a Christian, we are capable of doing any sin that you can think of. A lot of people don't like that. Well, I'm saved, I'll never do that. Don't be so sure of that. I didn't say we would do it. I said we're capable of doing it. Because we still have the natural man. We still have that old Adamic nature that desires to do wrong. That desire to go away from God. We still have that nature within us because we've been saved in our soul and our spirit, but our body has not been saved yet. That's waiting. That's coming one day. And while we're in this body of flesh, you can rest assured the battle rages. The battle goes on.
Do you ever wonder why you think some things? You say, ooh, why did I think that? How did that come into my mind? Do you ever do something and say, why did I do that? That's so wrong. Or why did I act that way? Why did I have that kind of attitude for? Why did I say that for? You know why we do that? Because we're dealing with the old man. We're dealing with that old person, that part of us, that Adamic nature that has not been redeemed yet. It is awaiting the redemption, but it hadn't been redeemed yet. And so therefore, the struggle goes on, the problems arise, and the battle rages. Therefore, we must renew our mind. Our minds, remember, is what guides us and directs us into everything we do. The reason you'll do this afternoon, the reason you'll go wherever you go to eat is because your mind thinks about it and says, that sounds pretty good. I believe I'll go there. The reason you'll go home this afternoon and probably take a nap is because, boy, the mind's tired. I mean, we do what our mind dictates to us. And on the spiritual side, if we don't renew our mind, if we don't help our mind to be renewed in the Lord, it's going to go the wrong direction. It's going to think wrong thoughts. It's going to go wrong places. It's going to do things that we ought not to do. The Bible says in Romans 12, verse number 2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind. Don't be conformed. Don't be like a piece of Play-Doh that the person has in their hand, and ever how they mold it is how it stays. That clay will mold and be conformed to the pressures of your fingers. And so the Lord says, don't be conformed to the world. Don't let the world form you. Don't let the world mold you. Don't let the world and its activities and its ways and its wisdom, don't let it take over your life. And the only way you'll keep that from happening is to renew your mind in the Spirit of the Lord, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 12, 2. You ought to put that verse, underline it, ought to put it in your mind, ought to put it to your heart, ought to memorize it, and have that in our life, that we would have our hearts in tune with the Lord. It means to have a complete makeover. Not to be conformed, but to be transformed. Not to be molded by the world, but be transformed by the Spirit of God. And really what we're saying, be transformed by God Himself. He just has the Spirit that lives within us. The world's philosophy molds the mind of the lost. They are blinded by the god of this world into thinking what the world thinks. You ever wonder why? Why in the world does somebody think that? You go home, turn on your TV, you hear it. That's why we think it. We think we are so manipulated by people because we do not get into the Word of God, because we do not transform ourselves in the Scriptures of God's Word. So therefore, we're manipulated. And you hear the same thing everywhere you go because everybody hears the same thing. Everybody is being conformed to the very same thoughts and the same ways. And you and I, as a child of God, the Bible says, well, to renew our mind in the Spirit of the Lord and be transformed. You know, today, children and adults alike are being programmed to accept ungodly things as just natural. You turn on the TV and you'll be watching something, all of a sudden, it's right there before you. A commercial comes on. You have two women holding hands, walking down the sidewalk, or two men. And we are being so programmed that that's natural. My friend, according to the Word of God, if we'll renew our mind, we'll know that's unnatural. We are programmed that these things are just a way of life. We are programmed that all these acceptable lifestyles, or all these lifestyles are to be acceptable. Our mind has to be renewed or made over in the Word of God, or we will become conformed to the world. Now rest assured that when you start talking out in the open and acting out in the open like
those things are wrong, you're going to be you're the culprit. You're the problem. You're the reason that we're having all these troubles. No, no. It's not us, it's the problem. It's the world that is the problem. So Paul says to Romans, says, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind, the re-energizing, the rethinking, the makeover of our mind. And it only comes from God's Word. That's why it's important to read our Bible. That's why it's important to be in church. That's why it's important to have godly friends. Why it's important to have Christians to fellowship with. Because the world will not help us to get through those things. And the Bible tells us not only should we renew our minds there in Romans 12, but in 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse 13, the Scripture says this, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. The word sober there just means be in control. And hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. To gird up the loins of your mind. Now we know the loins of our body is our legs, our midsection. And so we're to gird it up or to put a girdle upon it for strength. Did you ever watch these power lifters? What do they put around their body? They put one of these big wide belts. They tighten it up as tight as they can. And they have it on there so their back won't blow out. They've girded it up. And the Scripture says we're to gird up our minds. We're to put things in our mind that are right and true and holy and righteous and godly. Put those things so that we don't blow out our minds in the wrong way in the world that is before us. And so here are two things. God says to renew our minds, and now we're to strengthen our minds. That word gird is to build up, to protect. And that's what the weightlifters do, especially those that are serious about it. Then in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, we're to have the same pattern in our mind as the Lord. Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So now we're to pattern our minds after Christ. Now, a lost man can't do that. Your loved one, if they're lost, they can't do that. And they look at you strange when you try to. That's why they look at you sort of weird and say things over in the corner. I've heard people talk about going to family reunion and felt like they wasn't part of the family because they wouldn't do some of the things that they did. The reason for that is because we are different than the world. And so therefore, as a believer, we are to be different. We're supposed to be different. So we must renew our minds, we must gird up our minds, and now we've got to pattern our minds after Christ. What kind of mind did the Lord have? We heard about this morning, the Lord saw all the multitudes needing miracles and healings. The Bible says He had compassion on them. What about the other thing? He had a mind of humility. He had a mind of obedience. He had a mind of service. Philippians 2 speaks about the incarnation and the obedience and sacrifice of Christ for us. What He did for us, and that He was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That's the mind of Christ. Obedience. Faithfulness. So we'd have our minds patterned after the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, as was also in Christ Jesus. Study the life of the Lord, and you'll find out what kind of mind, what kind of pattern we are to follow. Study His ministry. Our Sunday school lessons now in the Gospel of Mark, it's the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Study the ministry of our Lord, and that's the type of mind we're to have. He is our leader. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. He is our Sovereign. And so therefore, we are to follow after Him. We are to learn to capture the imaginations of our mind. They're always going to and fro. And so, these things that we have will help us in our Christian life if we will but follow the Lord. Last verse I want to use, 2 Corinthians 10:5. casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. What does that tell you to do? If it exalts itself above God, against the knowledge of God, the wisdom of God, Paul says, cast it down. Every imagination. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 6 that when the Lord looked down upon this old world, He saw every imagination and the thoughts of man's heart. It was only evil continually. I wonder what He sees today. I wonder when He looks down, and by the way, He does. When He looks down upon this world as He looked down on Noah's world, I wonder what He sees. I sort of think it's the same thing. For as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. So may we put our minds in the right spot and let Him renew us. Let Him strengthen us. Let us pattern after Him and then cast down those things that's not working, that's not right, that's not good for the child of God. The imaginations of the hearts of men, evil continually. The imagination of the song is not the imaginations of the heart of a child of God. Let's stand together this morning.